Good afternoon. Today we are reading from the Psalm 108, a song or psalm of David. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem, and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe, over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off, wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. During World War II, there was a Christian man who lived in the Western Isles, off the coast of Scotland. During World War II, there was an elderly Christian man who lived in the Western Isles off the coast of Scotland. And in those dark days of uncertainty, he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a soldier. And he could see the features on the soldier's face. He was a man whom you would recognize if you saw him afterwards. His face was clearly discerned. And this soldier had a Bible. And he was reading from the Psalms. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Now those were times when news did not travel as fast as news would have travelled today. And this individual would not have had easy access even to newspapers, living as he was in such a remote part of the British Isles. But during the course of the war, he saw a photograph of General Montgomery of Alamein. And he said, that's the man I saw in the dream. That's the man whose face I discern the dream that I had. And remarkably, the verse of scripture that Montgomery would have used as he led his soldiers into war was the very words that this elderly man saw the soldier reading in his dream. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. A rather curious story, but one that perhaps indicated that God was in some way speaking to this elderly man, comforting him perhaps, at a time of great national uncertainty during the course of that terrible, terrible conflict. What that little story illustrates is this. Whenever we are fighting just wars, now not every war is just. Sometimes we are involved in unjust wars, and that is a tragedy and it's a catastrophe for those who lose their lives and for soldiers whom we send into battle. But when our nation is involved in just wars, we can depend upon God to support us, because God is a God of justice. And whenever we think of the enormity of World War II, what the Nazis were guilty of, that certainly was a just war. And God did arise, and the enemies of God were scattered at that particular period of history. As you are aware, I'm not a pacifist. I don't think a Christian can be a pacifist, because there are times we have to fight to defend our land and our nation and to defend righteous principles across the world. Evil does not exercise itself in a pacifist way, and therefore if evil is to be resisted, sometimes, unfortunately, it must be resisted by force. Here in the Psalm 108, we have a song or a psalm of David, and it is clear from this song that David was not a pacifist, and it is clear from this song that he was invoking God's help as he went forth against his enemies. But as David begins this song, at what is for him a time of insecurity and uncertainty, he refers here to the enemies. He refers to Moab and Edom and the Philistines, these other nations that were opposing him, who had to be defeated in conflict. But as he begins his psalm, he doesn't think about his enemies. He thinks about God, and he praises God, who alone can give him support. And he says, O God, my heart is fixed. That means my heart is steady. My heart is resolute. I'm looking to you, Lord. I'm looking to you. My heart is fixed upon you. I'm looking to you. Now this, make the application a little wider. We have referred to times of national conflict. We have referred to David and his problems here with his aggressive foes. But let's make this a little wider and a little more personal. We all have battles to fight. Perhaps there's somebody listening and you have a battle against loneliness. And someone else has a battle against sorrow. Someone else is battling with illness, physical illness, perhaps depression, psychiatric illness. Or someone else and you're battling with a situation at work or in business and you wonder how you can get through. Perhaps there is someone who's been victimized, who's being bullied. Perhaps there is someone listening and your trouble is... And perhaps there's someone who's very aware of problems within, an addiction perhaps, a craving for something that's totally destructive, and we can all face those kinds of difficulties. But as David faced his problems, he fixed his heart upon God. He knew the solution didn't rest with himself. And you see, whatever our problems and difficulties are in this world, we cannot find the solution within ourselves. At this time of the year, all of the New Year's resolutions have been broken. Am I not right? Resolutions to get fit, resolutions to lose weight, resolutions to change the diet, resolutions to pursue a new course of life in 2016. They've all gone. They've all gone into the bin. Because that's the type of creatures we are. We resolve to do something and we fail. And how often have we not failed to do what we set out to do? All of this teaches us our own depravity, our own failure. But here is a God who never fails. And David was saying, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed upon you. Are you willing to look to the Lord today and fix your heart upon him? You know, the greatest problem we have is our sin. And our sin needs to be forgiven. This is the reason we have some of these addictions I've been telling you about. Our sin needs to be forgiven. But God is good. He forgives us. As David praises God here, he says in the verse 4, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Two very important parts of God's nature that are fused together as one. Mercy and truth. You look high into the heavens, and at night time you can see beyond the clouds, and you can see the stars glowing in the distance. There is a span there that we cannot measure. God's mercy is greater than that. Can you be forgiven? And can God's forgiveness change you? Yes, absolutely, but it is what God does. That's why you have to look to him. God's love is a covenant love. It is not a whim or fancy of his emotions. God's love is grounded upon his promises. And his promises were sealed on Calvary when Jesus Christ died for us. God loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. We have talked at the beginning about war and conflict. There have been those who have shed their blood and gave their lives in war and conflict. But, and this is the point, Jesus Christ offered the greatest sacrifice ever. God gave his son. His name was Jesus. What a saviour he is. God's mercy, God's truth. God never does anything that is unrighteous. He never does anything that is wrong. That's why Christ had to die, in order that his justice might be satisfied. God is a just God. And here we see mercy and here we see truth. They're brought together as one whole. Then in the verse 6 he says, that thy beloved may be delivered. And as David faced his problems, as one who was trusting in God, he knew that he was the Lord's beloved. And that's a wonderful phrase, to think that we are loved by God. In order that you might know that you're loved by God, you must ask God for mercy. And then you can face all of the troubles in life, knowing that you're the Lord's beloved, that you're a member of his family. What a wonderful thing that is. He went on to talk about the vanity of trusting in men. We trust in ourselves. We look to ourselves and we fail, but when we look to God, we will succeed, because we learn that the victory alone is through him. Will you fix your heart upon God today and find life and rest in him? I thank you so much for listening.